Hey everybody, so we went on a trip recently and our flight got canceled and we were stranded and we had to stay another day and we weren't able to record an episode and now we're back and I picked up a bunch of work shifts and Catherine and I are just kind of ships in the night, so it's been difficult squeezing in an episode. So what we're going to do is release an old Patreon episode from last month. And just so you have something to listen to, you might be asking yourself, what am I supposed to do as a Patreon subscriber? I'm giving these fuckers money, and I'm not getting anything in return. I got to re-listen to last month's episode. Well, guess what? We're going to record an episode for you as soon as we have a chance, as soon as we see each other. And also stick with us because we have a lot of plans for the future. We're going to make Patreon even better. We're going to start recording video, offering a bunch more shit. That's coming soon. But in the meantime, please enjoy this old episode. This is probably better anyway. You don't have to hear us rant about
Russia.
Anyway, here you go. Enjoy. Talk to you soon.
Whatever to you.
No, whatever to you, Ian. And that's the end of the discussion.
Mm-mm.
That's it. I said whatever. You don't say whatever to you.
I'm going
to
drink
you,
your coffee.
No, don't touch my coffee.
Can I have it?
No, you can't have it. What's your deal, man?
I need more coffee.
Well, make more coffee.
I didn't sleep well.
Yeah, you had some gnarly night terrors.
Sometimes I have flashbacks to Nam.
Yeah, no, you really like...
I do.
You were screeching and breathing heavily, and then...
Charlie tries to get me in the middle of the night.
can I tell them what you said after I... shook you awake?
No.
Okay.
What did I say?
You said, after screaming, like bloody murder and thrashing and panting, I shook you awake, but you still weren't fully awake, and you tried to do that thing that we all do after we do something
no,
insane.
Nothing.
Yeah, and but you're
what?
Still half asleep, and you're like, oh, I was just, what? You were like, I was just counting NFTs.
Well, I was investing in NFTs all day. And it was very stressful because you always feel like you're doing something wrong. And you're like, I think I just gave somebody $400.
I think I just gave someone.
I didn't even get my drawing of a giraffe sucking a guy's dick.
It's so funny. You're like,
I didn't get it.
My giraffe sucking a dick NFT fell through. And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, babe, that sucks.
It does suck.
I know.
I wanted that one. It's called Prank.
It's very funny.
And it's like it's a guy with the blindfold and his girlfriend is standing in the corner giggling while a giraffe sticks its head through a window and sucks a guy's dick.
It's very funny. But you
blew
it.
But I didn't get it. But I got an NFT of a guy getting hit in the balls with a shopping cart. So
that's good. There's a lot of
This is our future. I'm investing all of our savings into this.
If you're wondering where your Patreon dollars go, no, I don't. There's been a lot of NFT hatred on Twitter I've seen recently. Like, everyone thinks they're better than the people.
I think that's so funny because
buying NFTs.
It's like, okay, it's like there's a guy on the corner just handing out $100 bills, and you're like, that guy's a dork. I'm not taking any of the $100 bills.
That's
it's
what,
like, yeah, it's stupid.
Yeah.
Do you think anybody's arguing that it's stupid? Like when and it's a bubble and it's going to burst and everybody's going to lose their money like Beanie Babies. But somewhere there's a guy, like I watched the Beanie Babies documentary.
Yeah.
Which.
Shameful.
Shameful. Yeah. A horrible, shameful time in our history.
All those people should be sent straight to hell.
Yeah. But there's one guy, his name was like the Beanie Meanie or something. And everybody hated him because he was just buying and selling these things, and he was telling everybody on, like, I don't know, CNN. He would go on TV and stuff and be like, these things aren't worth anything, the bubble's gonna pop, get out.
Yeah.
And he just made his money,
and he did make like a ton of money.
I'm pretty sure he made like a shit ton of money.
Man, they're such dorks, they can't even come up with like a biting insult name for him. The Beanie Meanie.
So like, I mean, be mad at him all you want, but he has a house. So, and you still have like 10,000 Princess Diana Beanie Babies just collecting dust in your basement that you love so much.
I mean, I do in my basement. My sister was obsessed.
Yeah.
In a way that, like, I remember a like violent fight we had And I knew, like, as a little sibling, you know all the ways to push your sister or brother's buttons. And so she pissed me off for some reason. So what I did, and this is like holding her child hostage, I took one of her rare Beanie Babies and I took the tag protector off and I ran upstairs and I locked myself in the bathroom and said I was gonna rip the tag off. And she was pounding the door down, and my mom wasn't home, nobody was home, and she was just losing her shit. I was like, I'm gonna have to escape through the window because I think she has a knife at this point.
I mean, like, when kids were obsessed, sure, I get it, but you watch the documentary and the the adults that had to like take out a loan and, you know, sell their car and stuff because they needed, and it wasn't like they needed just the lobster Beanie Baby. They had eight.
Yeah, they
and they
had
went to
them?
The store and they were like, and then I saw another lobster Beanie Baby looking at me with those cute eyes, and you pointed out it's like they're dead. Like orbs,
they're
like
awful.
Black orbs.
You can't do anything with them. They're just little beanbags.
I fell in love with them.
All these Midwest moms with their Kate Goslin haircuts beating the shit out of each other with their quilted Vera Bradley bags. You're like, what? And you notice, like, in my experience, it was just my sister, not even me. It was just my sister. And so my parents, they got on board because, you know, if the kids are screaming about something, it's easier to just like acquiesce and do it. But my parents were cool. They weren't into Beanie Babies.
Yeah.
Seeing adults, like, there were adults in that documentary who their kids couldn't give a fuck. And they were like, oh, honey, we got Jiggly or whatever. I don't know. They're Randy, the horse. And the kids are like, okay, thanks, mom.
Right. Well, there were a lot of people who really thought this was going to pay out, and they didn't get out when they should have. That you're supposed to buy it from the Hallmark store and then immediately, if you can, sell it right away and just get... Because if you get like a little bit of profit, you're good. If you get like a few hundred bucks profit, you're good. They thought they were going to hold on to these things for like a decade and then sell... you know, one bear and buy a new car.
But
But it was so... With this stuff, it's the same thing that happened with comic books where, like, they create a false scarcity and then when everybody thinks that they, like, have this treasure, they just make more of them. They just print more comic books and then you're fucked. You can't... It's not rare
anymore. So fucking slimy. They're just like, oh, this one's retiring.
Yeah.
You better stop your car in the middle of the highway and roll out if you see it. Because a bunch of them fell off of a truck and people were...
Oh, that was crazy.
Scrambling on the highway to grab Beanie Babies. Well, you were saying people were holding out because in 10 years it's going to... They thought they would become mega valuable. People are still doing that. There are a handful of people. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, you'll see an article that's like, ooh, this Beanie Baby, the JonBenet Ramsey Beanie Baby is worth like $1 million.
At least those people are just kind of like misguided. But like I saw this couple... who they were just collecting Beanie Babies for the love of the game, and they have every single one, and their house is just Beanie Babies everywhere.
That's disgusting.
And they were like full of resentment and hate towards people who even thought to sell their Beanie Babies.
Oh my god,
it's crazy.
These are the purists.
This isn't like an interview from the 90s. They're like talking about like their favorites and showing them to the camera and stuff, and they're like, they're adult people with jobs and shit, and you just want to slap the shit out of them. Like, you hate them.
That is wild. We had certain Beanie Babies, like the Princess Diana one, and all the ones they pretended were very rare in these. Not only did they have tag protectors, but they had, they were in this, like, plastic case, like it was a baseball signed by Mickey Mantle. It's wild. It's still in my basement. It was all because my sister became...
We needed a 9/11. We needed 9/11 to come along and fuck us up a little bit. We had it too good for too long.
Yeah, it's like you guys are taking things way too seriously. Your lives are too cushy. It's wild to me that my sister as a child had the adult mentality of like, these are very rare and they're going to be worth a lot of money someday and I need to be collecting them.
I think that kids did a lot of that so their parents would buy more. They probably believed it.
Yeah.
But I mean, imagine telling your sister, okay, now we're going to go make the money that you thought we were going to make. So yeah. Give me your bear and I'm going to go sell it to somebody. She would lose her shit.
Yeah.
Because really, there's something about being a kid that makes you want to collect things. And like, everybody who realizes this makes bank, you know, mm-hmm. like the inventors of Pokemon, or like when they started cranking out Ninja Turtles who wore different costumes. You know, kids have to have every single one. They yeah. want the complete set. I mean, Funko Pops.
Ugh.
That guy, I mean, he must live on the moon or something.
No, he did. I saw him. He does something insane. I saw this in a headline, but apparently the Funko Pop guy lives in this ridiculous mansion that he designed to look like the cover of Hotel California or something.
Oh my God, that makes sense.
With like tacky suits of armor and stuff. He's like exactly what you would imagine, just the
worst.
That's
cool, actually.
But I don't understand Funko Pop, because you can make anything a Funko Pop.
Right.
So you're like, there's B. Arthur and there's Robert Durst and there, you can just come up with anything.
Yeah, but you want, like, say you're if you're a Golden Girls fan,
yeah.
you have to have all of them. It would be insane just to have Blanche.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That would be...
And then you got to have, like, the secondary characters. And then what if they only made three of, you know, Blanche's
Stan
one...
or whatever, yeah, like yeah. her dead husband.
Right, yeah. And then you're like, okay, I got this one. It's the most rare one.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. If you're going to go into the toy making
it
business,
is, yeah.
you got to create a series of things. Like Pokemon is a great example. I think they always fuck up when they add more.
Should we make a suicide pact NFT?
You could. I don't want to. It's complicated. It's hard
oh, yeah.
to do.
No.
But NFTs, it's a whole different story because, I mean, it's just a different thing. Like, people are like, it's money laundering and it's not real art. It's like, correct.
But isn't
who doesn't
all
like
art,
free money?
Isn't all art pretty much money
exactly
laundering?
It's interesting in that it's like commentary on that, and it's kind of mocking that idea that like there is no real art anymore, so why not buy a pixelated picture of a cat and pretend it's worth hundreds of thousands of dollars? You know, what's the difference between that and painting a canvas all blue and
yeah.
then having a giant auction where some fancy pants pays, you know, that amount of money for nothing?
Yeah.
And also, like, there's other benefits to it. Like, if you get the stupid fucking monkey bored ape NFT, they have parties and whatever else. And I mean, it's all dumb,
mm-hmm.
but if people are just printing money, then why would you not engage with it? Why would you not? There's all these people mocking it and rolling their eyes and like, yes, it's very, very stupid, but you go ahead and be right and cool.
Right.
Put on your sunglasses, and then I am going to try to not go to work.
Right. You know, if something costs a couple hundred dollars and you have that lying around and there's potential for it to eventually
yeah.
be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, why not?
I
acknowledge this is stupid, but I'm gonna do it.
Right. And Johnny Ryan, who is the guy who drew the giraffe sucking the dick,
yeah.
he's a hilarious comic book artist. I have his shit in our
yeah.
bookshelf. He got banned from Instagram. I loved his art. It's like the funniest shit in the world. And he went live on Twitter, whatever it's called, like Twitter
conversation or something?
Yeah, groups or something
yeah.
like that. So I was listening to him, and he's just talking with a few guys, and he's talking about how people shit on NFTs and they don't think it's, you know, good for the art world and stuff. And he's like, I am just an artist and I have to make some kind of money, and
mm-hmm.
I'm taking this shit right to the people, and I've been kicked off of every social media platform. I can't promote online anymore.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, oh, I like this guy.
Yeah.
I want to support him in some way. And just think of it that way.
Right.
You know? So I bought one of his things. And by the way, I wanted that giraffe sucking a guy's dick. I didn't get that one.
I love this conversation.
That NFT was like $150 when I was trying to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it like minutes later, it was in the thousands of dollars. So I could have, if I would have snagged it, I could have turned around immediately and just made a bunch of money, hundreds of dollars. So why would you not sit at your job during your downtime and engage with this shit?
Yeah. I read this in a tweet, so I actually don't know how any of this works, but somebody said they watched an NFT, like how to make millions on an NFT.
Yeah.
And they were like, I'm not kidding you. This person literally said, you buy an NFT and then you click here and you change the price to $1 million. So like, what if your whole gimmick was, this is the most expensive NFT? Can you do it? Like that conversation we had about bottle service. And
I've seen a lot of people do that.
Can you?
But there would be no reason. Like if I made an NFT,
yeah,
which I did make two, but there's a lot of reasons that they'll never sell. But if I just jacked up the price to, you know, $100,000 and I actually had it set to like $2,000 for a while just because I didn't know what I was doing.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody would buy that because they can't resell it probably. There's no heat on it. Also, if they go, the Bored Ape Club, Yacht Club,
oh my God,
is the biggest NFT collection, right? Yeah. They sell for the most amount of money.
How did that happen? Who's behind it? What's the heat there?
I don't know all the research on that. I think it's an early, you know, thing. I think the art, like, appeals to idiots. It all sucks. It's stupid. Yeah. But if you bought a Bored Ape Yacht Club, whatever, NFT, it's like a Rolex. Like just having it is status.
Ugh, that so much.
It's
that
gross. Yeah. It's all very gross. But you can like take that and show that at like, I don't know, some big New York party, and you get in and you get bottle service and you get, you know, waited on hand and foot. There's all these benefits to having it. NFTs a lot of times aren't just the, you know, the picture or the address on the blockchain. It also comes with all these perks.
That exclusivity makes my skin crawl. Do you remember when we went to Art Basel as like a joke? Like we were being ironic about it, but you know, we were still there. So who's the, you know, I ran into somebody.
Well, I didn't know what it was.
you had to explain it to me
on the way.
I guess like I wanted to is like how we went to that Gatsby party. We're always like, we're actually here as a joke. We're not you guys. We're cooler because we're like doing exactly what you're doing, but like ironically,
dude,
even though we're
that,
dressed
man.
Like you and doing exactly.
I will do that forever for my whole life because it's fun.
But how do you establish that you're doing it ironically when you're just partaking in this stupid?
I guess I don't think that far ahead. Like I'm not above wanting to go somewhere where you have to dress up a little bit and, you know, the booze is free and you try to look cool and stuff. And I feel like I always go into it like I'm gonna have a good time, and then about the first half hour in, I'm like, everybody here's a fucking idiot. I feel like I switch at some point.
Yeah,
you know, I go in earnestly.
Yeah, because you didn't
start
know,
getting irritated by everybody.
You didn't know what it was. It was very organic with you. It was nice watching it through your eyes because you had no idea what it was, and then watching you just of your own accord go, oh, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. This is not remotely an art show. Nobody here gives a fuck.
Yeah, when you feel like you have like a little bit of an eye for aesthetics and you see the shit people are trying to pass off as art.
You see a folding chair with a wig on it.
Right. A table with a bunch of ripped up tires on it. You're like, remember the cinder block that was just painted green?
Yeah.
Fuck you, man. And then you find one thing and you go like, oh, okay, this is like a hyper realistic painting of a New York City block. And you're just like, you spend all your time there because you're like, this is cool.
Right, yeah.
And then you walk an inch over and there's just like a plastic bag, you know, full of rocks. And you go, man, fuck you, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck you.
But
seriously, who do I talk to? But I guess like that's this.
But that's the NFT.
That's what NFTs are. Yes.
This is the struggle.
But I can't afford the bag full of rocks.
Yeah.
Because
it
NFTs
starts
are
at like 150.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something.
NFTs can like build.
Yeah.
And also with the Johnny Ryan thing, I was reading up on NFTs. I wanted to get in on it, and like the first, all these articles, they tell you what to do. And one of the things they say is like, invest in things that you think are cool. Like, actually like the art before you pay for it. And before finding out that Johnny Ryan was launching NFTs, I was like, that's literally impossible. I scroll through OpenSea, which is the webpage where it's like eBay for NFTs.
Yeah.
It's all shit. I mean, like, it's horrific. It's like giant pixels and like pencil, like scribblings and everything is like so childish. It's all monkeys and they're smoking joints and stuff. It's like,
is that because anybody can do it? And it's all derivative?
No, I think it's because, if I had to guess, it's because this is like still kind of a techie thing, and it's attracted like tech bros who once again don't have an eye for anything. So, and then you just like build heat around your thing, and it doesn't matter what the thing is. The actual image is not important because it's all about like the celebrity endorsements or who's tweeted about it, you know? If Elon Musk tweets about an NFT, it could literally be like a photograph of an old, like hard,
an old woman,
black turd, just like on like a fossilized turd on the side of the road.
Yeah,
or like somebody with their head cut off or something. As long as it's endorsed by rich, famous people, then you know people are going to buy it. It's got heat behind it.
That's insane. Well, I mean, not insane. I get it. It's not like I'm not going to pretend that I'm just so baffled by it that I don't understand.
It's not
just
any more stupid than the stock market
or,
you know, buying things at Goodwill and reselling them on eBay for an astronomical amount of money. It's money laundering. It's shitty. It's capitalist. It's, but like there's a certain point in your life where you think to yourself, I don't want to work until I'm 50, and you start thinking all day of schemes. That's all you do. You just start, and maybe this is a male tendency. I see everybody on TikTok, oh, men love their fucking NFTs or whatever. I don't give a shit what it is. You know? I'll sell my plasma. I want to figure out a way to not go into the fucking office. That's it.
Right.
And like, you can mock that as much as you want, and I'll mock it. I think the Bored Apes look like shit.
Right.
But if there's a chance that I could make some profit, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, get that giraffe sucking dick money.
But that's actually cool. I like that.
No, that is a great, that's a classic cartoon. The New Yorker should take that. That is so funny.
Well, he used to submit all of his drawings to the New Yorker. He has a comic out that's all rejected New Yorker cartoons.
What's his name again? Johnny Ryan?
Johnny Ryan. He signs everything jizz, though. His series of NFTs is called banned from Instagram, I think.
Okay.
It's all the shit that got him kicked off of Instagram.
Yeah, the one that you bought, the guy getting hit in the balls with a shopping cart at a grocery store, is not what you would picture. It's not like, oh, he's turning a corner and she bumps into him and it's all
he's
just
naked
he's
at the grocery
fully
store.
Fully nude, giant cock, just like, I think hard. It's like straight up in the air.
And it's peeing.
It's so much. And he's just like, oh.
He's great. I mean, he was talking on Twitter about how like he drew a series of like, I don't know exactly, like I think like looting or something, or some kind of like horrible thing that happened in the news, and he got like he got in trouble from Instagram for violence. And he was like, but I follow these accounts where it's the news and it's the actual violence.
He's just drawing what other people are posting in real life.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, what is it about art where if you try to, you know, repeat it, somehow you get in trouble? It was a fascinating conversation he was having.
Yeah.
He's so great. He's like really smart. And then he draws, you know, the most heinous, hilarious shit.
His
comic book Prison Pit is
oh,
incredible.
He's the Prison Pit guy?
Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
What else? We weren't even planning on talking about
any
of
weren't.
This. What else do we...
We were going to talk about... Oh, we promised... We should talk about this because we promised. Bob Saget and the whole controversy online.
On TikTok?
Yeah.
You've seen most of the videos of kids shitting all over him, so...
Yeah, they... So there's all these kids on TikTok like celebrating his death because they found clips of him in the movie The Aristocrats, and clips from his roast, like out of context, and they post them on TikTok, and they're like, this guy molested the Olsen twins. He killed a woman in 1990.
Oh my God.
And it's like, you realize that's Gilbert Godfrey standing at the roast podium talking to an audience, right? Like, can you hear all the laughter? But they're like, it's crazy. So like, that's the first point people make. And then the response is, well, all jokes come from a place of truth. Which is bonkers. God. And I keep thinking about that. It's like, yeah, maybe that's right. Here's the truth.
No,
but here's the truth in that joke. He did know the Olsen twins.
Yeah.
If he didn't, the joke wouldn't work. So that's the grain of truth.
Yeah.
You know? He was around them when they were children. So you couldn't make that joke about somebody who never met the Olsen twins. It wouldn't make any sense.
Right.
There's truth in the joke, but you're putting it on the molesting part.
Right.
You're assigning it to the wrong thing.
Yeah. God. I mean, it really feels like these people want all these things to be true. Because why wait? Why? I mean, I know people were talking about it before he died, but this like celebration of digging up speculative, really disturbing details about somebody the day they die.
Well, it's not even speculative. It's literal jokes that they are
interpreting
in bad faith.
This, I mean,
it's next level shit.
It sends
shit,
a
man.
Chill down my spine. Same. Because it's not just people with no sense of humor. It makes you feel like you're just walking, you're not walking on solid ground anymore. You have to go like, wait, sarcasm and irony and hypothetical humor is no longer valid. Like, it's not real. And you can't even explain it to somebody. They're just like, no, that doesn't exist anymore. So everything that's happened in the past has to be rewritten and accounted for. And it's like, the excuse of like, it was a different time and people joked about things that were like, it just like, it doesn't work. What do you do?
Well, but it's not a different time. Like, it's still okay right now.
Yeah.
In 2022 to make a dirty joke. Yeah. It just is. And we got to push back hard on that because people, the other thing, and I mean, I'm sure they're children.
Yeah.
It's a children's app. Like we were just saying, we were watching some TikTok about some woman complaining about TikTok and she's in her 30s.
She's like, and it's like, I was talking about celebrating my 30th birthday and these people come in and saying that 30 is old and it's not old. And I just pictured her at a playground yelling at children like, actually, 30's not old and I can wear my JoJo Siwa t-shirt and I can play hopscotch with you guys and I'm not old. Yeah. It's like,
well, she's at the Chuck E. Cheese in the ball pit and being like, 30's not that old. It's like, I mean, you
it's
got in the
relative.
Ball. It is for here. It is for here. It is for the Chuck E. Cheese ball pit.
Yeah. It's like, it's all your relative. It's all perspective.
So it is children.
You go to a book club and have some wine and with your other 30-something friends and say, you know what, guys, we're not old. I don't feel old. No, we're not old. It's fine. Yes, that's valid. But don't yell at children that you're not old.
Yeah,
you know
old
what they're
going to
do?
App.
They're going to go, you sound old.
Yeah.
You're fucking old. Shut up, old head.
What was I going to say? They were saying it's not okay to joke about this stuff. That's the other thing people say. And I mean, so like they were saying like he's a monster for even joking about this shit. And that's where we have to push back.
That's where I have to go, okay, I'm going to bed for the rest of my life.
But no, we can't, because I think what happens or what has happened up until this point is people have kind of just stopped saying certain jokes because they don't want to get the reputation of being a monster. So they're just like, okay, you're setting the new parameters, but we're letting children dictate what we're allowed to say. And we got to push back a little bit. Like this, you're not allowed to joke about that stuff. That has to be nipped in the bud quickly, you know? Because I mean, this is a man who is known for his charity and for being like a shoulder to cry on and for helping people through their mental illness breakdowns and shit.
It's just
everybody
truly like
had
the
a kind word.
Kindest person on the planet.
And then you want to rewrite his whole story, his whole personality, his whole legacy, and make him a monster because of literal jokes he told,
yeah.
we have to say, no, you can't do that, you know?
It's just such a cruel thing to do in the guise of being like what? Like a hero or an activist or I don't know what the right word is, but like
I don't think it's like malicious. I don't want to like assume everybody is just kind of like a scumbag. I think young people's brains now work differently and they hear that stuff. What they're hearing literally is, I went out, I raped some people, LOL, isn't that funny? That's yeah, how it's hitting their ear.
They're looking around the room like, am I insane? Why yeah. is everybody laughing at this?
Why is everybody celebrating this
and
guy?
It is quite hard to explain.
We actually, like a supervillain died today.
Yeah.
You know?
And they're, yeah.
We should celebrate that.
Wow.
And then there's all That's these people. Upsetting. Another thing I saw is people saying like, well, there was an interview with the Olsen twins where they said that he molested them and it was on Ellen. And from what I can find, this was just an rumor that got started in the comments of TikTok and it's not based in reality whatsoever because I've scoured the internet. Don't you think
like
that would have been
QAnon shit? Yeah, of course that would. If that was on Ellen, he would have had to come forward and address it. That would have been massive.
Britney Spears told her sister to go fuck herself, and that's like national news right now. I think we would have heard about the Olsen twins getting molested, doing a long format interview on Ellen.
Yeah, there are no receipts at all.
Yeah.
That's
the
wild.
Only thing I could find is them talking about how upset they are that Bob Saget died.
Right.
He was such a great guy.
It's so funny that these people are sort of throwing their arm in front of alleged victims and saying, like, we need to protect them when they themselves are like, hey, no, listen to me. I'm very upset about this person that I love. And they're like, shh, 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 shh.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to talk
about
this.
Yeah, that's a trauma response you're having.
Yeah. You obviously blacked it out. Something that I know nothing about.
Also, the Olsen twins don't speak.
That's true.
All this reminds me of...
They seem molested. I will give them that. I will give everybody that. Like, if somebody goes, you're going to tell me these two people were not molested, and then you cut to their, like, deer in headlights faces, and they don't speak anymore. They just, like, kind of drift around like ghouls. Like, it is hard for us to be like, okay.
They killed the Joker.
Oh, yeah, wait, what? What's the...
Heath Ledger died in one of their apartments.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
We should talk about that.
You know what they are? They're like have you, okay, who's the guy? Thor, something Thor?
Oh,
we were just looking him up.
Valiant Thor.
Valiant Thor was this alien that worked for the CIA in like the 50s. And
that's pure xenophobia, by the way. He was like Swedish and people were like, he's tall.
No,
he looks
weird.
He was
a fucking alien. He was like 112 years old or something. He was like 9 feet tall. There's all these pictures of just like a bunch of guys and then a clear fucking alien. They barely gave him a costume. He's got like, his name is Valiant Thor.
No, that's a nickname, right?
Well, I mean, they had to give him a name because his name was like Bleep Bloop or whatever.
Okay.
Anyway, the Olsen twins are like, we're going to look back in time and be like, there were two grays that were on television and everybody just ignored it.
Well, no,
they're aliens.
They clearly had their souls sucked out or their brains sucked out or whatever. And the grays assumed their bodies.
Right.
Because they were normal until they were about like 17 or 18, maybe even 20.
Yeah, they hit puberty.
Yeah.
And they became...
Grays.
Grays, yeah. Anyway, this whole situation reminds me of... Do you remember the commune thing that we were following for a while?
Oh, yeah.
Where a bunch of people moved out to the woods because they didn't want to, like, you know, create waste and they didn't want to get sucked into the, I don't know, pitfalls of society. So they tried to create a mini utopia in the woods and everybody on TikTok was like... This is bad for the LGBTQ community. It's like, what?
This is what I'm saying. You were saying, oh, I don't want them to seem malicious. Whether they know it or not, they're doing something really fucked up, which is like they are trying to create trauma where trauma doesn't exist. And for likes and for, I don't know, just for attention. Like, especially the commune thing. If these people were like, we're right. fine, we're enjoying ourselves, nobody's fucking molesting each other.
Well,
and they're like, this is a dog whistle. You blinked, and I interpreted the Morse code, and it said I was molested.
Well, you get, like, the bad actors who might make a video.
Mm-hmm.
But then all the comments and all the people liking it, I don't think are evil. I think they're just very young. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know,
I disagree.
Naive.
I disagree. I think they're horny for a scandal like that.
Sure, there's that, too.
That's,
but I think
that's it.
In the, that's
I think
like
that's
a tickle
the
in the back of their brain.
Thing.
You don't think some people are concerned? They're like, what the fuck?
No, not Bob on TikTok. Saget? You're liking a video on TikTok? Is that your activism? You're like, oh, I'm just concerned for the... No, you're just like, whoa, this is juicy.
I'm not saying it's activism. I'm saying you're 12. You're scrolling okay. through TikTok. There's a video that says there was this guy named Bob Saget who was big in the 90s, and he molested his co-stars on this show.
Yeah.
You don't watch that? I don't think you watch that and just go like, ooh, I'm titillated by the drama of this situation. I think
I
you
think
say,
you do.
And then they say, you know, he went on to make jokes about it on you know, Comedy Central. And you go, wow, the world is fucked up. I got to be on the lookout for this kind of stuff.
No, I completely disagree. I think that's what's going on at like the forefront of their brain, their conscious mind. They think that's what's happening, but it's all the same gossip mag, juicy scandal. I'm just into this whole controversy.
Yeah.
I think that's it. They're just liking and sharing. Like, I mean, that's just the way that these apps work. I don't think they care.
Well, I just think people. I just have faith in people.
Oh, yeah.
I just love people.
Okay.
Yeah, Jamie Lynn Spears is all, like, people are obsessing over her.
That
and Britney Spears.
Is so hard to follow.
That shit's funny, too. You know, you bring up, like, no, these people are just, like, obsessed with gossip and celebrity. I mean, that is true because you see these women who are, like, breaking down the situation between Britney Spears and Jamie Lynn Spears and Jamie Spears. Is that her dad?
Jamie.
Oh, God, what a bunch of white trash monsters. But, It's funny because they're giving all this like they're like playing therapist.
Yeah.
And they're concerned.
This
you
is
know?
What I'm saying. I think that's completely phony.
They don't do this with anything else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They pretend to care. Like they care about like they're advocates for mental health, and that's why they're doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not. It's celebrity gossip scandal. It's all the same shit.
It's like the joke I was trying to do for a while. It's like, why don't you go down to Walmart and help the vet that's like pissing in jars in the parking lot?
Yeah.
If you're worried about people,
you're like
with...
free Britney.
Yeah, yeah.
And the conservatorship.
Look at Jamie Lynn's body language in this interview. She seems stiff, and she's writing a book. Great timing, Jamie.
Yeah, you're like, go help people if you actually care.
Shut the fuck. I mean, that goes double for us though.
Oh, does it?
Yes.
We no, but we people. Don't care about anybody. That's the thing.
When I watch Queer Eye and there's like a lady who collects goats whose legs are backwards on their body or whatever, I think, fuck.
Yeah, no.
I should collect goats.
We watched Queer Eye last night and there was a guy who's dedicated his entire life to housing homeless people
yeah.
in Austin. And I was just sobbing. Like, God, I gotta do something.
Nobody can accuse me of being just like a cynical asshole and... Like, not completely, because I watch that shit and I'm like, oh my God, get these
yeah.
people a medal. Jesus
it
Christ.
It is nice to know you can still feel something.
Right.
That at the very least. Then that guy at some point starts talking about how he was addicted to morphine and it killed his mom. And we were like, this is a heavy episode
yeah.
of Queer Eye. He euthanized his mom.
Those are the people that you need to tell, you know, go easy on yourself. Take a break every once in a while. Have a self-care day.
Yes.
You know, that's when the gays really, you know,
yeah,
knock
come,
it out of the park.
Yes. And but, that guy was great because he was like, I don't think he watches TV. He had no idea what was going on. So he's like, really? We get to see him experience Queer Eye for the very first time in real time. And by the end of the episode, he's using the phrase, yes, queen.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
they're
yeah.
so tickled
they
by it.
They turned him gay.
It's everybody's fear. The queer guys are going to come fix up my apartment, and then
and now I'm gay.
And I'm sucking all their dicks in a you know, alley.
Queer Eye After Dark.
There was other things. Oh, I know what we're going to talk about. Okay, this all is like kind of.
So wait, what's to put a pin in the Bob Saget thing? What's the, is there any takeaway? Like, what do you, I personally think I've seen so many wonderful tributes to him on like other social media outlets. I'm not like worried for the future of humanity. No. It's just like it's just a weird little side boil that you're like, ugh, man.
The world we live in is you stumble across these pockets of nonsense where like people are doing things that are gonna send you into a rage, and mm-hmm. then the algorithm kind of adapts and then only shows you that, and then you yeah. you feel like a friend of ours was like all upset recently because he was on TikTok and he said that TikTok is just parents exploiting their like babies with birth defects and
oh,
like
yeah.
mutations and shit. And it's like not for me.
Yeah.
That upset you, and then they showed and you know you watched a bunch of them and now that's all they show you. So this Bob Saget thing is very small.
It's very niche, yeah.
And it's only children, yeah. like very young children. So it's nothing to worry about, but when you happen upon it for a while, like for a couple of days, you're like, fuck, what is the world coming
yeah,
to? We're not allowed to joke about anything anymore. This is disgusting.
Social media has a very scary way of making you feel like things are much more ubiquitous than they are. That it's like, oh my God, this is what yeah. the world is now. And you just got to, you know, start.
You got to start
liking videos of guys who've shot their faces off and they sing with stuffed animals. That's right. All my TikTok is
gross.
He was talking. Okay, never mind. I won't get into it.
You got to be okay with the fact that some people are going to be horrible and say the most insane shit in the world, and that's like, I know that sounds easy to do, but it
no.
absolutely is not.
No,
like
no.
on my Instagram account, if I get like 2,000, 3,000 likes and a bunch of shares and a bunch of comments saying how funny a thing is, the one person on there who says something outlandish,
yeah.
like some black woman came after me because I'm like a white guy and I'm making fun of self-care culture or some shit. I don't even know what her fucking point was, but just that one person drove me nuts, you know? And it's
yeah,
like...
Yeah.
But that's one person, and they literally could be insane. They could be just like,
yeah.
they could be on a fucking iPhone 1 mumbling, walking down the street with no shoes on, and you're like, but what about that? That fucking person thinks this.
Yeah.
And it's such a bizarre thing that there's going to be, and if you get to a certain level of fame, like somebody like Bob Saget or whatever, there's going to be a corner of the internet, a whole corner,
yeah,
hundreds of people who believe some outlandish shit. And the idea of ignoring all of that is not, it doesn't compute with human beings, but you have to do it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because it doesn't matter.
Because you also have to recognize there's a part of you that wants to seek it out because it makes you mad and you're
right.
like,
yeah,
you know, like we were very captivated by the whole like Bob Saget truther people on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
So we started watching more and more videos, but. Yeah, whatever. Yeah,
well,
that's
I mean,
just
makes
the nature
you feel
of the
so...
internet. People aren't going to agree with you. Some people are going to be mean for sport. Some people are going to have real bad faith interpretations of jokes. We're all far too interconnected.
Yeah. Another thing we found online was this girl who does a 10-part apology.
Oh, boy.
She's got to be like 17 years old. 10-part apology for her past behavior.
How does she have so much to apologize for?
She doesn't, dude. It's wild. It's really an example of how this stuff is warping young people's brains. You know, if we're obsessing over the Bob Saget thing or whatever else, a comment, you know, what is it doing to kids whose brains aren't fully developed and also have been inside for the last 2 years
oh,
because
God, yeah.
of COVID. And they're in therapy. So everything is about their trauma and they're obsessing over their mental illness and stuff.
So this girl is like apologizing. I watched some of the videos because I just thought it was so funny, you know, because she also just looks like such a zoomer. She's got the nose ring and the
shaggy
hair. Yeah, yeah. Shit all over her face. And I mean, the apologies are so long because she's got to give all these caveats. Like, I didn't know better, but that literally does not matter because my intent should not be factored into the damage I've done. And it's like, what did you do? Turns out one of the things she did was she's white and her family's white, and she had a birthday party when she was 15 and jokingly called it her quinceañera, and some people in her family wore sombreros, and that's not okay, and that's cultural appropriation, and I'm not on here to find sympathy. And it's like it hits all the bullet points that you're supposed to, the ways you're supposed to give an apology now. And what's funny is you go to the comments and it's all these people rejecting her apology. This doesn't excuse bigotry. Why are you putting these caveats in your apology? It doesn't matter that you didn't know better. Why did you even say that? It doesn't matter how old you were. Why would you say how old you are? Are we supposed to be sympathetic just because you were young? And by the way, young meaning like 2 years ago. She's still a child.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that 10-part apology just really encapsulates the disgusting nature of the internet these days.
This has become kind of a, I don't know what kind of talking point, assign whatever group you don't like to it, but sometimes I really do believe you can't apologize. It's just one of those, you're not going to win. People don't like it when you apologize, or they do, but they're just going to pick it apart. You just got to go, okay, moving on.
What a horrible, horrible thing. What if you say something in your life that you thought was clever or just kind of flippant, and it wasn't? It was bad. You shouldn't have said it. It was just shitty. It came
Can't imagine, but go ahead.
It came from a place of real, like, ignorance, you know? And somebody comes to you and they say, you said this thing, and then you go, okay, I'm going to think about that. Yeah. And you do think about it, and you come to the conclusion that it wasn't funny or whatever. It was just mean-spirited, or you just made a mistake, or you said something wrong or something. And you go like, oh, well, I apologize for that, and I'm not going to do that again. We have lost that. Well, that does not exist anymore, because everything you say is bad. And then when people come at you, they could be a good person. Yeah. Or they could be completely misinformed themselves, or they could just be out for blood. So you got, I mean, that idea, think about that. You go back in time, you tell somebody from the 90s, like, in my time where I live, we just don't, I would never apologize for anything. They would be like, what kind of asshole are you?
There are two different realities, though. There's social media and there's real life. I think, I've thought about this, if I apologize for something I've done, and it like has really blown up, like somehow a lot of people know about it, like on the internet, I think the thing that would be most important to me is the people that I love in real life knowing that I'm sincerely sorry. Anybody who's upset with me that I know and care about, like a small circle of friends. Once that's taken care of, I think it's important to realize that everything else on the internet is like the illusion of intimacy when we're all strangers.
Yeah, it's not real.
So when somebody's mad at you, even after you've sincerely apologized and you've never met them in your fucking life and you only see an avatar and a handle, you gotta let that go and know, like, oh, okay, the people that I love understand where I'm coming from. Everybody else, that's so far out of your control.
Yeah, you don't owe anybody anything on the internet at all.
Yeah, so they're going to be upset.
You know that as soon as you show, as soon as you're vulnerable, there's all these people waiting in the wings to just exploit that.
Yeah,
and fuck with you.
Right, you just can't be worried about what strangers think. You gotta know your heart. And talk to the people you care about.
Your quinceañera.
If
something, don't worry about it.
If that girl, so she had a This is so funny. Like, the fact that she's bringing it up again is like, well, first of all, no. Just stop. Just don't talk about it again. But, like, say her best friend is half Mexican or something, and she sits down with them. They talk about it. She said, I wasn't thinking. I'm sorry if this offended you.
No.
In my world, in my mind, if this was my friend, they'd be like, I don't give a shit. But, like, okay, sure. They have that conversation. They're good. And anybody else on TikTok who's still mad at you, it doesn't matter. There's nothing you can do about that.
Right. But what do you say about the idea that, like, the internet informs everything that everybody does? So this girl has her quinceañera, and then she sits down with her Mexican friend, and she goes, I had a quinceañera. Uh-huh. And the Mexican friend says, that is wildly offensive. The fact that you didn't know better doesn't matter. Your intentions are irrelevant. And I don't want to speak to you anymore, and I consider you a villain. And you go like, well, I you're still fucked because it bleeds into the real world.
I just have like a rosy view of.
Yeah, your friend's not going to be somehow above all of culture. Hopefully they are.
But if
they're a kid, if they're another 17-year-old kid, they might also have their brain all warped.
Having a quinceañera is unforgivable. What about piñatas? We all had piñatas at our.
Oh, I would never. I would never have a piñata. I had mayonnaise stuck to my own kind, you know?
Yeah, you guys you had a mayonnaise cake and
yeah.
I didn't consider that somebody would reject an apology for a 15-year-old.
Well, those people that are rejecting apologies on the internet, they live somewhere and they're friends with people somewhere and they're still living that life in the real world. So you must come up. I mean, the fact that we're seeing this girl do a 10-part apology already means that the internet has infected her brain.
Yeah.
And she was told to do this by her therapist, which is just
no.
Adds another element of. You said you saw a tweet recently that said something along the lines of like.
It said, I see what you guys are tweeting about out here about your therapist. And I just got to say. Most of them should have their licenses revoked.
Yeah. Yeah. I really do think there's something going on with the therapy world that's not benefiting society.
I know nothing about therapy. I'm probably wrong for this one.
Well, we just happen to be all good.
Yeah. I'm perfect. But I personally, back in my day, you don't go to therapy until you're like 30, unless you're really fucked up. Like, if you're 17 going to therapy, you watched your family die in a car fire or something. That's like just sort of regular therapy for therapy's sake at that age is confusing to me. That's all. I just don't understand it. But I really know nothing about therapy. I don't know what they do. I just, back in my day, you didn't go to therapy unless you experience some like truly horrific trauma.
Well, I think the
you
internet
didn't go to
is,
therapy that young.
The internet is traumatic in a way. Yeah. And like she was talking about how she's been doxxed and like people have tried to get her account deleted and stuff. And so I don't know. How do you deal with that as a kid that people are coming at you in waves? Because you apologize, so now people so you came with the information and now they took it. And they made you a supervillain, even though you were apologizing for your behavior. And now they're posting your address and your family's name online.
Jesus Christ, everybody.
You might have to go to a therapist.
Yeah.
I don't know which came first.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
But I'm sure therapy helps people. But it has also introduced this idea to all of us that our trauma should be what we center our life around and should be thinking about all the time. And like even these apologies and the way in which you're supposed to apologize. And maybe it's not just therapy. It's just all this like pop psychology and the like the business or the practice of just being good and nice has become like vicious and weird and hateful.
I saw a sign the other day outside of like a coffee shop or something, and it said something like, it costs no money at all to be kind to people, something like that. And there's something about this like kindness movement nowadays that is dripping with disdain and anger and like, I don't know. It makes me want to kick the sign over and be like, fuck you. I don't have to be kind if I don't feel like it. I mean, sure, you have to be decent to people and treat each other well, but like this whole condescending idea of like, it's actually not that hard to just be a good person. It's like, it kind of is nowadays.
Yeah, yeah.
The goalposts are moving all over the place. I don't know where I stand.
You know what it is? It's like intolerance for other people's expression of kindness. So like if Gilbert Gottfried's kindness
shows itself
by in insults, you know, and then everybody gets together and has drinks and laughs at their own foibles or like the accusation that they're a child molester. and you see that and you go like, you know, Bob Saget, known for being the kindest comedian of all time. He just, I mean, the stories that started coming out once he passed away.
Unbelievable.
It's like, same with like Chris Farley or somebody, you know, but he's different because he didn't do the whole dirty humor thing. But like, how are you going to decide whether or not you're deciding whether or not Bob Saget is kind based on your own parameters.
Yeah.
And they don't work for everybody, you know, because Bob Saget is very, very nice while telling jokes about, you know, having sex with children. And you seem to be very angry and kind of mean while explaining how you're not allowed to insult anybody and you're not allowed to, you know, offend anyone.
Yeah, this like utopia that people like that seem to have in mind is so unsettling to me because nobody seems happy. It seems like everybody is side-eyeing each other, waiting for somebody to make a wrong move.
It's tattletale snitch
nobody's,
bullshit.
Nobody's relaxed. Nobody's laughing. I do think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, I mean, it's just so exhausting being like telling people something's a joke or trying to explain that's just your sense of humor,
and
because
then people
you
start,
feel like you feel 100 years old. You're like, okay, never mind, I don't know.
Yeah, and people start labeling you like, oh, here comes the free speech cancel culture guy, and you go like, I don't know what to do anymore. I just want to be a cool baby in the ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese.
I want to be the 30-year-old baby in the ball pit.
Yeah.
That's all.
Who everybody thinks is nice.
Yeah, I'm kind. Sorry, I'm fucking kind.
Yeah.
Everyone, it's not that fucking hard to be fucking kind to one another.
Guess what? We'll all be kind, and then your comedy will all be Miranda Sings or whatever. Is that her name?
I think Lipstick Lady.
Yeah. That's your comedy now.
Yeah.
Fuck you. You're going to the Big Bang Theory, and we'll all be sweet as hell.
Yeah. And
life expectancy will drop dramatically.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's enough podcasting for today.
Hey, we're going to a honeymoon palace in the Poconos right now. And I'm going to say this on record so that we have to do it. We're going to make some bonus content. It's not.
Oh, don't say that.
What? No, I'm saying it. We're doing it at the. We're going to do it.
Well, now you're turning vacation into a job.
We said we were going to do it. All we have to do is record it.
We say a lot of things.
But that's why I'm saying it on tape so that do it. And it's not a sex tape, you freaks.
Or it might be.
Could be.
All right.
You never know.
We got to go.
Bye, Hills Hayden.
Hills Hayden.